Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Captain F.
Wow, we are humbled in your presence, sir.
No, we're just plain humbled.
Nah, no, we're not.
Yeah, well, the way you wrote that...
You can't read it anyway.
It reminds me of those push-up popsicles. The cream liner is here or something.
The cream liner. Okay.
Well,
I think we should let that die gracefully.
I think there goes our Boeing sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, Boeing.
And as most of you on radio obviously know, the Dreamliner is here. You saw it land.
And that's right. If you were looking at your radio, you saw the Dreamliner land.
That's right.
Beautiful airplane. Big, too. I mean, really
it's
big.
It's red and it's white. It looks like a big Tylenol.
Yeah. What is it? It's long and silver, and it's got wheels and wings
and curves
in the window. It looks like a big Tylenol.
Anyway, there she is.
Yeah, she made it. Then they actually did a flyby. Who would have
thought that? No, that was definitely a missed approach.
Yeah,
right.
Boeing doesn't do flybys. That's company policy, courtesy of the Dash 80, the prototype for the 707.
Tex Johnson.
Tex Johnson. He rolled it, once,
before we roll
but twice.
Off into story time,
mm-hmm.
It's here. She's beautiful. And it was so funny, because as soon as it stopped moving, there was like... a mass exodus of people just moving towards...
Right. We were wondering whether people were going to run into some of the wings in the parking area.
Yeah. They really have crowded around her already.
I'll tell you one thing. The pilot did a good landing with it, but when he hit the thrust reverse on that, the dust was flying. I was amazed at the amount of dust that airplane
Well, they actually brought that with them.
Oh, is
it? It's more spectacular on the landing.
It's specially made Boeing dust.
And... you know, next hour we're going to be going live over there. So
you're going to be talking from the plane.
Don't invite us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amy Lobota will be over there doing her show live from the West Ramp.
No. ConocoPhillips Plaza. Phillips
right.
Plaza.
Well,
nice.
instead of mispronouncing it,
yes,
I thought I would go with something safe.
Oh, come on. You've never been safe.
You're just showing your age when you say West Ramp.
Right.
Most of the new people here have no idea what the West Ramp is.
Well, the people who park airplanes work on the West Ramp.
That's right, and they're still known as the West Ramp Rats.
Mm-hmm.
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, no kidding. But to the rest of us, it's ConocoPhillips Plaza.
ConocoPhillips Plaza. Say that 10 times fast.
So if you look at that airplane, a lot of people are like, I think they're conditioned to think about the A380, right?
Yeah.
And they think that this is like the answer to it, but really they were going for something totally different.
No, they're shooting for a different market.
Right. And it's all about efficiency. It's all about passenger mile and how much cost per passenger mile that you have. And so they went with lighter materials and more efficient engines and, of course, a better experience inside. Interior, cooler interiors, humidity, improved humidity, especially in flight.
Well, they were able to do that because most of the structure of the 787 is composite materials. They don't have to worry about corrosion on an airframe like you do when you have aluminum.
And that's why I was saying as we were watching it land out on the deck, I was saying to some of the folks that you look over at some of those long easies and very easies over there, it's the same sort of philosophy of materials, and that is you're looking for composites. You have composite construction.
Sure.
So although there is some metal on the aircraft.
So what you're saying is they bought up a bunch of old varieties and smushed them together and came out with that?
That's right. It's
that's efficient.
Not only is it a glass cockpit, but we got a glass airplane.
That's right. That's right.
Oh.
Man, you've been waiting to use that all week.
Right, of course.
Oh.
But it is the time-honored tradition to crowd around the airplane, and that's what's being done. Everybody's over there. There is nobody in the North 40.
That's right.
No kidding.
The rest of the airfield is empty.
The blood has flowed all the way over to that area, and now it's on the move again, probably to its final parking space, at least for the day.
I was going to say, all the little ants are following it.
Yep. It will be parked on ConocoPhillips Plaza until 5 p.m. Tours open at 11.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That was the next thing.
That line's
going to
be long.
And I will be speaking with Michael Carricker, the chief pilot of the Boeing 787 program, at 11 on EA Radio Live.
Okay, I want you to ask him a technical question for
sure.
Me. Does it have cup holders?
That's your go-to question every time.
Yep.
It does. And here's a story about the Airbus. The tiller, which is the steering wheel you use on the ground for the nose wheel, on the Airbus... is also a very good coffee cup holder. And when I worked for this parts company about almost 10 years ago, I had to work this we all had to be on call for AOG or aircraft on ground. And if there was a part that was messed up, you know, sometimes in the middle of the night, and JetBlue had a bad tiller or nose wheel control unit. And so we had to fly one down, put it in a Lear, and fly it down to West Palm Beach from Milwaukee. $35,000 for a $3,000 flight or a $3,000 part, because JetBlue needed to get their airplane back up, you know, keep it in the schedule. But a lot of times what would happen is the captain would set their coffee cup there and then spill right down into it. Because all that is that it's a steering wheel, but it goes into this box, which is just a bunch of microchips, a big potentiometer, you know.
Right, right. And so, you mean it's not a piece of rope just tied down to the front wheel?
Or a coffee bean grinder?
yeah. That's what it looks like.
So, I mean, that airplane, the 787, is probably filled with similar, just boxes with, you know, controls that a human will operate, but then it just, you know, just turns, translates it into microchips, and that's it.
Well, I don't know much about the 787. Is that a fly-by-wire system on board that?
It is. It's the first.
That's too sophisticated. They
no,
got
actually,
strings.
This is Boeing's first fly-by-wire airplane.
Wow.
Or so. I think it's his first passenger or commercial airplane that's fly-by-wire. I won't go to the mat on that one. I'll ask Mr. Carriker.
That's right.
There you
but
go.
I was listening to his interview that I did with him in 2010, early 2010, about a month after the first flight of the Boeing 787. And he said, it's fly-by-wire.
Well, I hope they really learned some lessons from Airbus on that one.
Right.
Let's wring the bugs out of this puppy right now.
Well, fly-by-wire, I mean, the F-16 has it.
Yeah.
And it's been around even before the F-16. But obviously, Airbus had a fleet-wide adoption of that. And so I think there's lots of lessons learned there. It doesn't mean that the technology is totally foolproof, but I would assume that they probably have a good idea about how those work.
About how to make it
work. It's kind of like how shoes work. A lot of people know how shoes work.
I don't know how shoes work.
Well, you know, one of the other things, too, is I'm sure that they have watched Airbus and how their fly-by-wire systems have been received.
He's defending me now.
Or reviled.
all I could think of is he was about to say, I'm sure they've watched Airplane, and it's an entirely different kind of flying.
Yeah, altogether.
I've just never had the emergency brake come right out of the...
Or had the control yoke hop up and down on you.
Yes.
Cut the four ignition switches.
Yeah.
Well, she sure is a pretty-looking thing.
She is, and if you're around the grounds, hurry over. It's only going to be here one day. Don't think that they've come to stay.
Now, I really do have a technical question
okay.
I want you to ask him.
Sure.
If you note from the top of the rudder, the rearmost tip,
yep.
There is a string with like a drogue chute on it hanging down about halfway. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a strain gauge of some sort.
That's what I'm trying to figure out what that is, or some sort
guys,
of weird drift indicator.
I know what it is.
What is it?
It's a balloon left over from the party.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say no. some sort of drogue or
but I'd love to know what
away.
That's for.
Yeah, of
unless
course.
It's to indicate wind drift or something, I don't know.
I'm going to say a strain gauge of some sort on the top of the tail. Because it's inside, it's just a bunch of orange boxes. That's all it is. I won't ask the ping pong ball question either.
You can ask that question. I want to know that one too. Do they have Pez dispensers in every seat? I mean, really, let's get to the important stuff. That's what the flying public cares about.
Wait a minute. Talking about important stuff, here's the really important question. How many bathrooms are on board this aircraft?
Boy.
You know,
well, they're probably high tech. Are they composite bathrooms? Do they work better than metal ones?
Probably. They're not as cold.
Cold to the touch. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh.
Well, if you ever saw, I remember watching the History Channel, and on Modern Marvels, they were talking about the toilet system on the Airbus A380, and they actually built a working full-size model of it, made out of all kinds of clear tubing and everything. It's really a complicated system. It's just not a toilet with a holding tank. There's a whole vacuum system that just sucks everything
in. And there's a whole bunch
and
of questions
and you cannot
we can
get
go
sucked
to.
Out.
No, you can't.
Mythbusters busted that one.
No,
you
won't
get
hurt.
Stuck to the seat.
And,
however,
it was really interesting because they actually did a simulation and it worked very well.
Well, I'm a poor representative of Robert Hayes, but I thought I'd at least plug the fact that we will have some exclusivity in talking with some of the people that are on that Boeing 787 right now. They're probably wondering why it's taking so long to get to the gate.
Yes, exactly. They haven't got one yet. You got here early.
I'll tell you what, the size of that thing just never ceases to impress me.
And just think, it's all glued together.
Right. Yeah. Well, it was a pleasure to be on the air with you two.
Very good.
It's been a long time.
And hopefully it'll be a long time again. This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie. And somebody validate his parking and get
him
out of here.
And you know what? They glued that whole plane together and it didn't get any fingerprints on the windows.
Yeah.
All right.
You're allegedly listening to a Hot Start here on EAA Radio.